me.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. This is a program that no matter what your age, your background, ethnicity, religious belief, your educational level, and no matter where you live in the world, we will provide insights and information that will empower you each and every day. We always begin with health and healing because we all benefit from that. For example, today we're going to learn about how the Harvard Medical School study, published in the peer-reviewed journal Circulation, that's the flagship journal of the American Heart Association, showed that isoflavones, that's isoflavones, from tofu or tempeh, and plant proteins lower your heart disease risk. Hence, all of you who have been using non-animal sources of proteins like your beans and legumes and pulses, nuts and seeds, you have been on the right side of science, common sense, and good health practices. But also today, we're going to go to your calls. Now we have a number that people can call in and leave opinions. Today, I don't know how many we have, but I'm pretty sure we have quite a few. So we're going to ask you to listen carefully to see if this won't make sense to you. In other words, the topic that we're allowing you to call in on, encouraging you to call in on, and that number, write it down, is meant for you to have a voice and you to speak your mind. And we have had such brilliant, insightful, common sense and reasoned insights from people in the audience that is helpful. Our voicemail, write down the number please, 862-800-6805. Again, call in and make a statement, 862-800-6805. To listen to our program live every day, from noon to 1 Eastern Standard Time, and on Tuesday from 7 to 8 in the evening, you can call 774-337-6068, 774-337-6068, because right now, because of the coronavirus and a lot of stations not broadcasting anything live, they may be putting on programs other than a regular live program, including my own, or they may be preempted for some reason. So this way, we'll always be broadcasting a new program every single day. But most people listen at home in the evening, though most people are home now. Let me give you the archive number, 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. Now also today, we're going to share some videos, audios, including the effects of aluminum in vaccines on humans. That's only 2 minutes long. And also, big food and big pharma are killing for profit. That's 11 minutes long. And also, our girls are not rumors. This is 13 minutes, and it's by a group of Irish activist women and whose children have been damaged and have been subjected to the Gardasil and other vaccines, the MMR. And the government is not taking any responsibility for this. And they're speaking up and they're demonstrating and they're raising hell. And good for them for doing it. We should do the same here. So that's our program for today. Now, as we do every day, we begin with the latest on health. So what this comes down to is rather simple. According to the Harvard Medical School and Brigham and Women's Hospital, they analyzed data from more than 200,000 people who participated in 3 prospective health and nutrition studies. All the participants were free of cancer and heart disease when the studies began. After eliminating a number of other factors known to increase heart risk and other kinds of disease, here's what they found. Consuming tofu, which is high in isoflavones, more than once a week was associated with an 18% lower risk of heart disease. All right, that's very important. Also, eating tofu regularly was found primarily in young women before menopause or post-menopausal women, and it helped them as well. So I think it's just terrific. Now, am I saying that tofu is a magic bullet? Absolutely not. I'm saying that tofu, as one healthy ingredient, or tempeh, or miso, these are all fermented products, are good when they're a part of an overall healthy diet, a plant-based diet. When you look at the Chinese and Japanese population, the older population in particular, who do not have a meat-rich diet, because the more meat you eat, the less vegetables you eat. That's the inversion. But in older people who are sticking with the more traditional ways, it is principally grains and tofu, what were considered the poor people's proteins throughout the centuries, especially during droughts, because it was something they could actually make. You can grow the soybeans, they're very hardy, then you can make tempeh, tofu, and miso from that, and that's what they did. Now, those who live near the ocean, and Japan is completely, it's an island, a series of islands, but they had greater access to sea vegetables, which they mastered cultivating, and also fish products. But fish were not always abundant, so they had to look for gourds and root vegetables. And they did, and they mastered eating those raw, steamed, and steam was their preferable choice, and also fermented. So we can learn from this. For example, tofu, which is soybean curd, and whole soybeans such as edamame, are rich in isoflavones, but chickpeas, fava beans, pistachios, peanuts, and other fruits and nuts are also high in isoflavones. Soy milk, on the other hand, tends to be highly processed, and I don't recommend that, and especially when it's sweetened with sugar. So that's important, just something that we can begin to look for. And interestingly enough, when people are buying out of panic and they're over-purchasing, and I think that we should be responsible when we purchase. And by the way, the first things that are selling out of all the supermarkets are meat, chicken, eggs, dairy, fish. They're gone. But there's rather abundant supply. I do not see shortages. I do see them demanding that they be subsidized for taking product to market before it's fully mature and hence providing a margin of profit. Their profit's not going to be there. Early sales, they will get back into the production line. So that they're not going to run out of. But they will start to run out of other things like fresh produce, as I mentioned on yesterday's program, because of how long it takes to grow and the fact that when you're out of walnuts and you're out of lettuce, you have to wait till more comes. And some products can be purchased from other countries if they're not using it for their own population, which most are right now. But some items like plums and nectarines and peaches, you'll be able to find them from Chile. Now, most of those are not organic. So, you know, if it's a choice of not eating fruit or eating something that's not organic, I would choose to eat the fruit. But you can soak the fruit or vegetables in a veggie wash base for about 3 minutes and then agitate and rinse 3 times. For example, when I have kale, which is very, let's say, has all those little folds in it, and a lot of other lettuces do as well, or radicchio, which is a very nutritious and a great tasting lettuce, originally from the Mediterranean. And Italians all know how to eat radicchio and prepare it in different ways. You have to massage underneath and on top carefully, because those little folds can hold microorganisms, including dirt that holds salmonella. So massage it and then rinse 3 times. Agitate, massage, rinse. Agitate, massage, rinse. So it will take time to get those back. That's important. So look for the things that there's likely to be adequate amounts of, because we as Americans don't eat them. Legumes, pulses, some beans, like if you advertise faba beans, navy beans, kidney beans, black soybeans, which is your most single nutritious bean. If you want to have a salad, get your can of beans. Now, a lot of people don't know how to read the label. It'll say 27 grams of protein, which is the highest. Most beans are between 6 and 8 grams of protein per serving. So you've always got to look at the package and see how many servings. Now, if it says one serving, okay, you're going to get that amount. But what if it says two servings per can, like refried beans? That's very nutritious. And what's nice about the refried beans, they use some spices. But if you use rosemary, and I would use rosemary, I would use tarragon and fennel. And as I'm sauteing it, mind you, it's been cooked already. So all you do is you add a little coconut oil. Coconut oil is always your preferable oil. Now, you could use mustard seed oil and macadamia oil. All three oils have high heat resistance, meaning that you're not going to destroy the nutrients because the heat might be a little higher. Americans tend to be very impatient in the kitchen, and they want something cooked quickly, so they turn the heat way up. You should always cook with the temperature down. And that way it doesn't scorch the food, making it more dangerous or even carcinogenic. So you use a coconut oil, a macadamia oil, or a mustard seed oil, and that gets your food cooked. Then at the end of the cooking, when the flame is turned off, that's when you add your other oils like grapeseed oil, walnut oil, avocado oil, almond oil, olive oil, sesame oil, tahini oil. That's when you add those oils. All right, so then you're not getting any burnt oil, which is itself a carcinogen. Now, when you go into a store, the cheapest form of protein is going to be the beans. Beans and pulses. For example, the canned beans are good, but you're going to save money if you buy a large bean, you know, like a 3-pound to 5-pound can, you're going to save a lot. And then open it up and then put those beans into bags, zipper bags, and put them in the freezer. And that way you know you have a portion. A portion is a cup. And for each item in a meal, you should have a cup. So this way you can take one big 5-pound can of beans, and you've got a whole week's worth of beans right there. Just one type of beans, but there's 100 types of beans. You know, I love navy beans. And when they've already come in a can, they've already been cooked. And what's nice is some brands, and look on the label, will treat the beans with seaweed. And that's ideal. That's a prebiotic. That means then, if you have a tendency to gas by eating, let's say chickpeas, which are notorious for creating gas, if you can soak them overnight and put some apple cider vinegar into the water and salt, then the acids in the bean are reduced or eliminated. So when you cook it, you're not going to end up with the same gas. I never will forget I was doing a retreat, not for myself, but for a friend who, well, she actually wasn't a friend. I knew her. She had been in a film of mine years ago, Joyce Riley. And she called Richard Gale and said, can I speak with Gary about something that can help me with the pain in my leg? I have a tumor, a very large tumor, about the size of an orange, right off the left side of my kneecap, and I'm in excruciating pain 24/7. But I also have terminal cancer. I've given up my career. I've sold all my property. I've given my things to charities. And so I called her, and she said, well, Gary, I'm an oncology nurse for 42 years. That's my specialty, cancer. I met with all my colleagues, including the physician oncologist, and we all agreed my cancer had spread to every part of my body, brain, my bones, and breasts. It started as breast cancer, metastasized, liver. She said, so I've tried everything, that alternative and orthodox medicine has to offer, and I've accepted that I'm ready to pass. I don't want to, but I've accepted it. So while I still have consciousness, I still can, I've disconnected from all the things that I once valued. And she said it was very painful because I'm looking at a house where I've lived up for a long time and realize that shortly in the future, I won't be in this house. Someone else will have no knowledge of me or all the memories of this house. And I said, well, you know, that's true for all of us, Joyce. No matter who's alive right now on the planet, there will be a day when whatever they've built will no longer be what they're enjoying. Someone else will. I said, the quality of life that you've created, the lives you've saved because of your activism through Gulf War Syndrome, she was one of the leaders of the Gulf War Syndrome movement to try to get it recognized as a legitimate disease affecting over a million vets who served in the first Gulf War back in 1991 under George Bush and then Clinton. And it was denied and covered up. And through four documentaries, we exposed that. And she was one of the people, as an Air Force nurse, who was also suffering from Gulf War Syndrome. She felt her cancer came from that exposure and the vaccines. In any case, I said, what we have to do is leave something that is not brick and mortar, but rather a legacy that continues on, where the people will benefit from the lessons you learned and passed on. Anyway, very nice, you know, philosophical discussion about how to approach the end of something. And in our society, I said, we do not have respect for elders helping us, guide us through the transitions in life. We think, well, I know more than they do, so I'll do what I want to do. And then when we have a divorce, or when we're going into a career, or when we're having children, or when we're leaving that workplace, possibly forced to because of downsizing, and when we're getting older, and when our body no longer is the same, and when we're suffering from illnesses that we never thought about before, there's no one there to help us understand how to deal with this transition. We tend to panic, get depressed, become apathetic, sometimes suicidal. And I will say this, I say if we had more respect for the lifetime of wisdom and experiences of senior citizens, boy, would we have a better world, especially younger people. I one of the things I want to try to do in the next 12 months, I can't do anything right now because I'm not even answering emails because I'm working from 4 in the morning. 4 in the morning, I was in the gym cleaning down all the equipment, disinfecting every single thing, and then for some reason, we got a huge amount of food yesterday. I mean, huge. It's enough for 6 months because someone made a mistake. And they said, you want to send it back? I said, nope, we'll keep it. And so we're good to go. But we were up till midnight. I tell you, I actually said we don't have enough room. So we ordered a freezer. And within a half hour, we bought a big freezer to accommodate that. That's what you can do when you're not in New York or California. I mean, people will go out of their way. A woman who had the restaurant supply said, she said, well, she said, listen here. She said, I know what it's like. You know, when you need some help, you need some help. So we're here to help you. And she was just wonderful people. And that's not to suggest they're not wonderful people ever. There are. But it's nice to have a good crisis where someone, other stores weren't taking their orders and we're the last drop off. That's it. We're way out in the boondocks. And rather than taking the stuff back, they just said, take it. So we said, thank you and good. Whoa. I'm guessing 5,000 pounds of food, all organic, perfect food. And staple items like nuts and walnuts and frozen goods that we're good to go. I don't know a place in America that has this. Not even the people who historically were criticized, those who would intentionally want to protect themselves for the future, those who join food banks where they pay a price and their food is kept for them in case of a hurricane or a natural disaster or whatever crisis. even the people in this audience years ago who, when it was advocated, that stock up, learn a lesson from Hurricane Sandy. It happened right after Hurricane Sandy. And people did, but not a lot. And now we're getting flooded with calls, people saying, boy, was that a fortuitous move way back when, because now we have all the grains, nuts, and seeds and legumes in dry, cold storage, and we don't have to worry about anything being out. So, you know, it's wise now to realize what many of you didn't before. You cannot count upon the government. They're making nothing but mistakes right now. You can't accept what the media says because it's so biased and filled with so much misinformation and almost all pro-big pharma propaganda. Nothing about natural ways of preventing or helping yourself or building your immune system or even natural therapies that are working like vitamin C, which is working under two studies in China where nobody died, everybody got well on 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C. So you can bet that wiser people in other countries, but no one in the United States, the medical community, is going to think about that because you're all walking in lockstep together, which is right off a cliff. In any case, so buy the food. Now, when I get, for example, navy beans, you make yourself a pot. You just have to heat it up. You don't cook it. These are already cooked. Remember, if it's in a can, it's been cooked. So you just heat it up, and then I take a sugar-free ketchup. I put a sugar-free ketchup in there and squeeze the juice of two lemons in it, stir it around. You talk about a delicious soup. Whoa. Kind of reminds me when I was a kid. I think every kid in America had grilled cheese sandwiches. Of course, it was on white bread, but what do we know? Whatever our mom gave us, we ate. And Campbell's soup, either it was a tomato soup or it was a chicken noodle soup. I think those are the only two soups we got accustomed to as kids. So when I have that, now I can make my own grilled cheese sandwich with vegan cheese that is healthy, and Ezekiel sprouted bread that is wheat-free because it's made from sprouts. Very healthy. Very, very healthy. If you want a real healthy, simple lunch, take some Ezekiel and dribble maybe a tablespoon to two of olive oil so the whole bread is soaked. Then put your cheese on that. And then warm that up on a grill, not till it's brown, right? You never want to take those things that are brown because that's acrylamides, but just till it's warm, till the cheese. Now cheese is actually, when it gets to any heat, it's starting to melt slowly like a normal cheese. So you get the same mouthfeel. Then you put a nice big tomato and a nice big thick piece of sweet onion and a couple, you know, great pickles on there. So you got your mustard, which is a very powerful healing food. People don't realize how powerful mustard is. It's great. Now you can put some sprouts on top of that and then slice a piece, nice big piece of avocado and then squeeze lemon juice on that. No salt needed. And that's a whole meal by itself, but it's delicious. You know, it kind of takes you back to a different time, but in a healthier way. So you can store all of your dried beans and like lentils and split peas and canned beans for a long period of time. The colder the storage area, the longer it lasts. But years and years we're talking about. I even have a freezer that has heirloom seeds in it and legumes that'll last for, you know, easily 10 years. You never know when you're going to need it. And now we're learning that lesson, many people, the hard way. Interesting enough, though, when people were running around to stores to see, I was curious, what are people buying? What are they out of? And they were out of toilet paper. There's no need to be out of toilet paper. Shows you how, you know, where the priority is. I'd rather have a nourished body than have toilet paper. You can always clean yourself, as you should if you're really hygienic. Wiping is just the first stage. Otherwise, it's like putting toothpaste on a toothbrush and then rinsing your mouth before you brush your teeth. You're not clean. You're dirty. But washing with soap and water for at least 60 seconds, then you're clean. then you wash your hands. And by the way, people still don't know how to wash their hands. You put regular soap, do not use disinfectant soap, it's garbage, and it's dangerous. You put regular soap in the middle of your palms and you rub them back and forth vigorously for at least 30 seconds. Then you take one hand and put it on top of the other and run your fingers through the fingers that are on the bottom. You reverse it. Then you take the knuckles, make a fist, and you massage your whole hand from the top of the fingers down to the bottom, and then reverse it. Then clean under your fingernails. People forget how much dirt and bacteria resides under fingernails. At this time, you should be keeping all nails short. And that takes about a minute, maybe a minute and a half, but at least your hands are clean. Then when you go out, you wear gloves. Now, here's a new suggestion. And I did this, so people are going to think you're strange, but I've always been told I'm strange, and that's fine. You know, in my family, we prided ourselves in who could make fun of each other. And we laughed all the time. All the time there was laughter in my house. Because no matter what it was, we always found something we could laugh about. Generally each other. Our idiosyncratic behaviors. And so don't take offense if people don't understand you. They're not you. And they can only see the exterior of you. They don't know the interior and what's in your mind and heart. But I'm suggesting you take a simple, and probably best if you took a dark colored gray or black, single sheet, similar to a twin bed flat sheet. Now, if you don't have that, and you fold it up, you take it on the airplane, and then you first wipe down the headrest, the arms, the belt buckle in particular, that's where you're going to get most of your bacteria on your belt buckle and belt. And then you put that sheet over your whole seat. That way, you're not going to be infected from your clothes. And never go on a subway, a bus, a car, or a plane, and then assume that you go home and sit on a couch, a chair, the office. Always realize that droplet material is where the biggest danger is, not airborne. It's drops. And generally, those go about 3 feet from a person's body, then they're heavier than air, and they drop. Then they're on surfaces. Now, depending upon the surface, copper, those drops can last somewhere in the neighborhood of about, 45 minutes. Colloidal silver kills it. And diluted bleach kills it instantly. And high heat kills it. In fact, I'm looking on the internet today to try to find a high-quality infrared sauna. I spoke with a friend yesterday who has one. And this, I was looking at the scientific data on it. My goodness, this hits everything in the body. And high heat from infrared can really knock out all forms of bacteria and viruses in the body. One of the best single things you could do. But no one's doing it. So I'm going to see if I can't get one. They're not expensive either. I have an infrared at my home that I use all the time. And because we're going to see a great decline in all forms of viral and bacterial infections once the hot weather comes. Because the sun can kill off viruses and the great cleansing is sunlight. That's why you should be in the sun as much as possible. Tomorrow here is going to be around 85 degrees and for the rest of the week. So getting people out, getting them in their running outfits so they get at least half their body fully exposed. That creates vitamin D, by the way. You can create up to 20,000 units of vitamin D with just less than a half hour to an hour of sunlight a day. That's a lot of vitamin D that helps you. So that's good. In any case, I posted a couple articles today on PRN.FM, and now we're posting a lot of health and nutrition articles, environmental articles, and a lot of coronavirus articles, at least those that Richard Yale and I have read and believe have scientific credibility. And a lot of them that are in the mainstream media, we are not recommending because we're seeing that they're more than anything, they're just propaganda. So, and they're biased for example, everyone should run out and take this anti-malaria medication. Somehow it's healthy and good. It's not true. Someone's already died from using it, self-medicating. You shouldn't be self-medicating with these drugs. And you the media should tell us, the scientific community, how dangerous some of these drugs are. Like everybody wanted to use the anti-HIV drug. Well, it turns out it has incredibly toxic side effects. And so we're going through what can help you. We're writing an article on that, and we'll have that in the next day or two. But in the interim, we're starting to post photographs and that I used to have on my old Facebook, animals, people. And we're going to start something new today. I don't know when we'll get a post, but it won't be long. Sometime today, I'm going to take three senior citizens, three individuals, and from those three individuals, we're going to show you what a person who's a senior citizen could look like and should look like. Now, this message will not resonate with young people or millennials or people in middle age, but it should really resonate with those of you who are 60 and over, because my goal is to get everyone 60 and older, and ideally younger people as well, but at least those who are 60 and older, to understand that they can redo their body. They can redo their biochemistry. In effect, they can take that old 57 Chevy convertible that was perfect when it was young and now is in a junkyard, and they can take the frame off and redo it and have a nice new body. So we're going to show you examples. As often as I can get them, I'm going to post them. I'm using myself as an example. I'm using John Q as an example, who's down here, and his partner, Celia, who's doing it from home. And I'll show you people who paid attention throughout the years and look at the difference. So that's going to happen today. And if you want to see those, you'll go to prn.fm, prn.fm, and then look under health and nutrition articles. It's under the article section, and there's a big banner right on the main page, and you'll see it. And so we're posting dozens of articles now per day. So we don't need Facebook. And so that's that. So anyhow, now you've got a lot that you've learned today about how to prepare yourself, how to keep yourself healthy. A few more. University of Wisconsin has a study published in the journal NeuroCase, and it shows that daily meditation slows brain aging. The work involves studying the brain of Rinpoche, a 41-year-old Buddhist Tibetan monk who has practiced meditation nearly every day of his life. And over his lifetime, Rinpoche has demonstrated an above-average ability to meditate and graduated to teaching the practice to others many years ago. So they're showing how you can control your blood pressure, how you actually can change the brain. MRI brain scans of a control group showed this, that meditation really helps you, your brain, in a major way. So we have good science on that now, and it's not difficult to do. Also, from the Kapodistrian University in Athens, Greece, comes an article published in the Nutrition and Cancer Journal, and it's a meta-analysis. It looked at many different studies and then saw what did they have in common that could be used as an analysis. There were 32,000 cancer survivors, and they found that those who used beta-carotene, there's your carrots and vegetables, vitamins A, C, D, and E, lycopene, zinc, selenium, calcium, and different antioxidants, had a substantial improvement. And they were followed up at 1.8 years and 13.1 years. And there was a 12% lower risk of dying of any cause, and 29% lower risk of dying from cancer, 34% lower risk of death among colorectal cancer survivors, for example, if you used the supplements. You're talking about vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, 21% lower risk, especially vitamin C. And vitamin E, 24% lower risk of dying during the follow-up. So you see, those of you who've been using your supplements, science is now showing you were on the right side of this. And one last thing, this is from Lucidity Institute, University of Wisconsin, published in PLOS One, a peer-reviewed journal, that a compound in daffodils can improve sleep and even trigger lucid dreams. So daffodils, beautiful flowers. Where I just look out the window, there is a whole field, a five-acre field, with thousands of daffodils. By the way, I have never done a retreat of any kind here at this time of year. And this is when this winter rains have finished. And that's when it rains, Northeast Texas and Arkansas and Louisiana. And so everything is in bloom. And there are hedges here that go back to the 1920s. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of flowers blooming. And they'll bloom for the next 2 to 3 months. It is just a cacophony of colors and smells. It's just wonderful. And everyone's doing great, by the way. People went in yesterday to get their blood work up. The rest are going in today to get their blood work up. Three more people are driving in. One just arrived this morning and the other tomorrow. So everyone's on board. And I'm going to tomorrow play an audio clip from a lecture I did. I'm doing new types of lectures. I'll explain it. In the Rose Garden yesterday, which is a beautiful garden filled with, and we can thank Elizabeth McCormick because she flew down. She's like a master botanist, and she got all these roses from around the United States, and she planted them. We're talking about thousands of roses, and they bloom for about 9 months a year, and their aromas going wafting through the air is just magical. And in this garden, it seats about 40 people, all roses and beautiful marble statues, and a marble bench unlike any you've ever seen. It's hand-carved in Italy, and a company was going broke and was having an auction, and I waited till the auction was over. I couldn't afford to compete with these guys. And so just when they were about to close it all down, big, about 5,000 square foot place, or even larger, and the owner was there, very nice man, and I said, "Do you have anything left?" He said, "Yeah, a few things." So he showed me a few things, and one of the things he showed me was just exquisite. And I said, "Why didn't anyone buy this?" He said, "Well, where would they put it? It weighs about 7,000 pounds. And it's very hard to take apart, and it's very hard to put together. It's been here since I opened this place 30 years ago. No one's ever bought it." And I said, "Well, I don't ever profit from someone's loss. So you tell me what you would still feel good selling it to me. You tell me the price you want. And if I can afford it, I'll give it to you. If I can't, I'll just say that's more than what I can afford. So it's no insult to what the value is." I said, "It's just what someone can afford." So he gave me a price, and I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You know what's going to happen? All the remaining stuff here, I'm going to put into a storage locker. In about a month or two or three, I'm going to call for an auction, and jobbers are going to come. And everything is going to be wrapped up in plastic, and they buy it, you know, as is, and for pennies on the dollar, and they turn around and sell it." He said, "So, you know, this is it." And it turns out that was the most beautiful and expensive piece in the entire lot. So I bought it for a couple $1,000s. That's it. You know, like a 99% discount. But he was happy with it, and now you see that in the lecture. That's a real piece of artwork. Being patient and looking in the right place. It's not how well you save money. It's how fortunate you are in being in the right place at the right time when you can buy something you can afford and enjoy, and others can enjoy it. So anyhow, I'm doing a lecture in the Rose Garden yesterday. But instead of my normal lectures, which go on for quite a long time, I decided to try something different. Short lectures, like 10 minutes of lecture. But this time it wasn't lecture. I was reading a paragraph from a book that's out of print. I read one paragraph, and then I said, "I'd like your feedback on what this means to you, if anything." Wow, did we have some remarkably insightful statements. So thank goodness we were recording it. We had two cameras in, and we got the audio, so we got an audio pickup on it. And then I would read another paragraph, and this went on for 45 minutes. And it's all on aging. You'll really appreciate this, because everyone who is making a comment is a senior citizen. Profound wisdom. I'm going to play clips of this tomorrow. So all my lectures now are going to be the same way. Sharing something where people give the feedback in short periods of time. And I think this came to me because this is how I used to teach in college. I would do a short, concentrated amount of information and ask the students, what does this mean to you? How is this relative to your own life and perceptions? And then you give them something. It's like eating a gourmet meal, but a small portion. So no single plate fills you up, but you have a chance to keep savoring the other dishes coming. And that's what this is. So we're going to be playing lots of these over the next couple months. So anyhow, nature is a healer. So, and we've been overhyped. Is the coronavirus real? Yes. Is it serious? For those who are vulnerable, it's extremely serious and even deadly. Is it something that we should all freak out and panic over? Absolutely not. Has the government overreacted? It has overreacted in one sense, and now I'm concerned about the taking away of our freedoms and the White House asking the Justice Department very secretly if they could arrest people indefinitely with no charges, no trial. Well, Obama did that. That's the National Defense Authorization Act. They want to do it now. And I'm thinking, my God, look how that could be abused. And Congress will pass that, and you won't even know it. So I'm very concerned where this is all leading. I'm concerned about official science being corrupted science, the thousands of lobbyists and the corporations and special interest groups they represent going to be there like they did with the bailout, where not a single American benefited from the $26 trillion bailout over time and quantitative easing. None of that helped the average American. It helped the greedy people who control the system. The same is going to happen with this. And I don't believe it was a wise move to automatically close all businesses. That was just stupid. Just vilely stupid. You're going to see the most bankruptcies in American history. You're not going to see these people made whole. And even though a landlord cannot dispossess you immediately, the rent that you owe him is cumulative and nobody will be able to pay the back rent. As a result, these people are going to be filing bankruptcies by the millions. Why couldn't you have left it open and let people do shipping, have online, you know, boutique, you know, a record store, whatever it is? This was not thought out. This was all political and reactionary, and the public is being over-frightened. Those are my personal opinions. Now, what are we at to? Well, we're 43 minutes into our program. And by the way, as a fundraiser for our sister station WBAI, this is really devastating financially. They weren't able to finish their fund drive. There are no employees except, I think, an engineer is in the studio. None of the programs are live. And yes, thank goodness they voted no and won that. But that won't fundamentally change the ultimate outcome. It just delays it. And because in time, if you can't pay your salaries, if you can't pay the rent, if you can't pay utilities, if you can't pay insurance, then the foundation, even those who voted no, will still have to sacrifice the station, either in a swap, meaning you take the... By the way, let's get one thing straight. BAI was never a 50,000-watt station. It was a 4,500-watt station, but because of its antenna on top of the Empire State Building, it could reach 120 miles because water carries a signal down the Jersey Shore and up through Long Island and then up right up to Woodstock, in fact, and that area. Now it is a 50,000-watt and a new antenna, but that came 15 years too late. All because of bad choices made by people who didn't know what they were doing, and we, the public and producers, had to pay for that. In any case, we need to help the station. So since I'm down here, and Bertrand called me, the station manager, and he said, can you help? Since you're already down there, can you do a retreat? And I said, sure, in the middle, not for the first 4 weeks. Because the first 4 weeks, these people are going to be in their anti-aging program. And by the way, five people who were in the first group in October, they've come back. I put them on an accelerated program because what we're finding is that they've gotten better, stronger, younger every month for the last 6 months. So those who stuck with the protocol are, my goodness, you can't believe the changes. I mean, one guy who is, I think he's just hit 70, his body looks 20. I mean, he's ripped. I mean, absolutely ripped. Just muscles, abs, you can count the abs. On a 70-year-old guy, that is terrific. But he says, this is a guy who was supposed to be dead, by the way. Two different terminal diseases, going into hospice care. He came here instead for a retreat. This not only saved his life, but now he's got a whole new life. So we're very pleased. So we got one of the most beautiful environments in the world. Food galore. In fact, last evening, Luann took a whole bunch of food back to her place to give to the people, her neighbors, and people in her immediate vicinity. That's just the right thing to do. Share your abundance. And that's what we do. There's a church down the street here. And we'll be inviting the minister to come over today and say, you know, take some food for your congregants who might be having a difficult time finding food. So again, if you have a gift, pass it forward. Which we should be doing in any case. We shouldn't have to be reminded to do that. And many of you do exactly that. You pass your gifts and life forward. Thank you for being thoughtful and kind. So in any case, so we're going to do a 1 or 2 week retreat in the middle of April, and where people can learn as much as they want. You're on no protocols. You can rest, relax, enjoy yourself, and exercise, and detoxify, and build up your immune system in ways that you probably wouldn't be able to do on your own. Lots of classes, lots of wonderful meditation sprouting. I'm just watching now out the window, and they're starting to construct the greenhouses, two different greenhouses, one to do sprouts and microgreens, the other to do regular vegetables. And so we're going to be able to have a whole lot of fresh produce, 12 constantly. And we share that as well for those in need. Just like down in Florida, when someone came over one day, and they were from the east coast of Florida, and I'm in southwest Florida on the animal sanctuary, the ranch, and said, can I just walk around? I said, sure. And they came back about an hour later because I was counseling someone, and they said, you got all these farmers here? I said, I don't have any farmers here. I'm the only one who farms. Well, there's like 15 people back there. I said, yeah, there are. I made him a garden. I made him a 1-acre garden, covered, and built up the soil, put in an irrigation system, a drip system, bought the seeds for him. And now all they have to do is come and plant it and tend it, and then they get all the produce. Why would you do that? I said, that's the wrong question. The question should be, why wouldn't anyone who has more than what they need want to share that with other people? And the person kind of looked at me like I was strange and got in the car and left. I couldn't handle that, right? We're going to go now to your questions, or not your questions, your comments. And by the way, so if you want to come to the retreat, Jesse's going to send me the phone number. I don't have it in front of me. Let me just see if I... Yeah, I do have Luann's phone number. So here's Luann Panessi. If you want to get out of the areas where you're at and get into a healthy, safe place, be out in the air, have wonderful class around healthy people, here's the number to call. And this is a fundraiser for WBAI. And this money will not go into the general account. This money will be going to specific... not just me, but all the producers that can, that need their premiums sent out the door, paid for and sent out the door. 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. And now let's hear what you had to say about what are the issues that senior citizens are dealing with from different points of view. We'll go to that now.
Hi, just commenting on the senior citizens of these times. Well, I'm a senior citizen, and I blame the whole problem on the educational system in this country. I graduated in 1976 from a vocational high school. I was not the brightest bulb in the bunch, but at that time, apparently society knew what to do with a so-called problem child like me. I went to a vocational high school, became an electrician, had a very satisfying career in the electrical industry, did very well for myself, but I can tell you that I had seen my father, who was a Pearl Harbor survivor, went through a depression. My grandfather came from World War I, died from a snake bite in Georgia because there were no telephones, but, you know, there was no safety net back then. And we were taught to be very independent. The way things are now in this country, I'll give you an exact example. I was doing a job, an electrical job, in a light pole in a city park. And these two boys, about 6, 7 years old, in a crowded park with little babies, mothers, everything running around, had a hard ball, and they were playing. One kid was pitching the ball, the other kid was hitting the hard ball with the bat, and the ball was flying everywhere. And they were right in the path of the pole where I was working in the base of it. So I walked over to the two boys before I started working, and I very kindly told them, I said, listen, guys, there's a field on the other side where there's nobody. Why don't you go and pitch your ball and hit the ball in that field? So they look at me, and I walk away, and I'm working in the base of the pole with live wires. The next thing I know, there's a hard ball in my mouth. Those two kids did not listen to me at all. They just proceeded to pitch the ball, hit the ball with all the little kids, but I'm the one that got the ball in the mouth.
Hello, is this Gary now? Your question about senior citizen, my name is Evelyn, I'm over 50. Growing up, we had such respect for the older people. Our grandmother, after my grandfather died, lived with us. And we honored her and we respected her because she was such a part of our family for wisdom, knowledge, and just being with her. And we would never thought about putting her in a senior citizen home. So the difference I see is the lack of honoring and respecting the elderly.
Hello, this is the voicemail for Dr. Gary Knoll of the issue of the elderly. I live on the Upper East Side, the largest population of the elderly. And what I observed on one occasion, the Town and Country, which is the first public housing on the Upper East Side on 79th and York Avenue. There was a couple, and the husband was called, and he was asked about his wife. Apparently he had dementia, and he said that she was watching television. Well, she was dead for 3 weeks. The smell was horrible. The other tenants just thought it was the smell of the trash. So I don't think anybody cares about the elderly. I see them walking at strollers and wheelchairs, carrying packages. The Tenants Association, I went there, the Junior League took over, and they're happy that, oh yes, they're dying off, because then they couldn't co-op their apartment. This is an atrocity. I think people should care. I'm 69 going on 70 in 10 months, and I eat vegan. I bring food scraps to the farmers market, 82nd, and between York and First. And just being responsible, it's sad. One old lady was carrying packages, and she had a little light in her eyes. I just asked if she didn't bring a cart, and then I let her go. But then I realized she didn't bring a cart because she had steps to go up. Then an able-bodied young man walked by and just walked by her. So I help people across the street. We have e-bikes that whiz by you and can hit you. So I think it's all about being responsible, caring for each other, abiding by the golden rule. So that's my current rant right now.
Hello, this is a response to Gary Null about the question about what's happening to seniors today. I myself am a senior, so I'd like to comment from that perspective. I think the seniors today are the children of the people who lived through World War II. And when World War II was done and they started having families, they said, and I saw this in my own family, we're going to spoil these children rotten. We're going to give them everything that we were deprived of. So I think that seniors might have a sort of feeling that they're privileged and they should be catered to. But I think at the same time, they're also subject to a lot of discrimination because our society today is geared towards the young, to people 35 and under. You are told you can't apply for a job unless you are born in the computer generation. A lot of seniors are not computer savvy. They feel completely by the wayside, and young people are treating them as though they're ignorant because they're not up on all the latest technological advances. So I think a lot of seniors feel that they're fading into the background because they can't compete in any way technologically with the younger generation. So they're being looked down upon, and the younger generation has been brought up with very little respect for the elders.
Have a nice day, everyone.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. Walk home in my hand.